It's crunch time for Greenland today, with the US Vice President J.D. Vance holding a summit with the foreign ministers of Denmark and Greenland. President Donald Trump has repeatedly said he wants the world's largest island and he'll take it the easy way or the hard way. Greenland is currently a semi-autonomous territory of Denmark, and its leader, Jens Frederik Nielsen, has said it would choose to remain so rather than be taken over by the US. Mr. Trump was asked by reporters about those comments after he landed at an airbase in Maryland last night.
Premier of Greenland said today, we prefer to stay with Denmark. Do you see that as the final word?
Who said that?
The Premier of Greenland.
Well, that's their problem. That's their problem. I disagree with them. I don't know who he is, don't know anything about him, but that's going to be a big problem for him.
Donald Trump, who's up and about this morning, saying on social media that America needed Greenland for the purpose of national security and that anything less is unacceptable. To bring us up to date, let's talk to Washington-based correspondent Sarah Firth. Sarah, this will be the first meeting between the three governments since Mr. Trump reignited his campaign to acquire Greenland. Will you set the scene for us?
Yes, well, ahead of that meeting that you're going to see taking place at the White House between Greenland's foreign minister, Denmark's foreign minister, and the Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Vice President J.D. Vance, you've had, as you said, President Trump wading in there again, doubling down on these threats for the US to take Greenland, saying that it's for the purposes of national security, the US needs Greenland, and also saying NATO should be leading the way for us to get it, otherwise Russia or China would. This meeting's really important. We've heard that the foreign ministers of Denmark and Greenland, they requested the meeting with Marco Rubio after President Trump had stepped up these threats. And the Danish foreign minister had told reporters in the lead up to this meeting that the vice president, J.D. Vance, specifically wanted to participate. And that's why we're seeing this meeting take place at the White House. I think that's an important point because it shows just how critical and serious the administration are about this issue, that you've got the vice president involved. Also, if you cast your minds back, there was a very awkward meeting with J.D. Vance when he visited Greenland. That didn't go down well with the people of Greenland. And it's important today because you've got those three parties that are meeting. They're going to be trying, we think, to lower the temperature of this public discourse. But of course, for Americans, one voice that they've heard very little of is Greenland's in this whole debate. And so important that we're going to see Greenland's foreign ministers taking part in the talks today.
And we heard there Donald Trump saying last night, well, I don't know who the leader of Greenland is. He's also repeatedly said he's willing to buy Greenland, but there's no reason to believe that it's up for sale.
No, and Denmark and Greenland have been extremely clear, Rachel, in the lead up to this meeting. Greenland is not for sale. Now, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, what he's done is come out and try to take a more cautious tone in comparison to President Trump and the Vice President, J.D. Vance. He's insisted, look, what the President really wants to do is buy Greenland. That's been his intent from the beginning, moving away from this discussion of possibly taking Greenland by military force. What the Secretary of State hasn't made clear, though, is exactly how the US would go about buying Greenland. And Denmark and Greenland have been clear that it's not for sale. I think it's worth noting as well that President Trump's position, it doesn't reflect American public opinion. If you look at the polls, there's a recent Reuters Ipsos poll, a clear majority of Americans, 71%, say a bad idea to use military force to gain control of the island. And I think possibly more interestingly is that you've got the voters saying that they are concerned about the damage to the NATO-US alliance. And I think that gives a picture of American voters that feel that those long-standing partnerships actually matter more than President Trump's strategic ambition that he's expressed over Greenland.
Given how much is on Donald Trump's agenda at the moment, and I'm thinking of domestic issues, of Venezuela and of Iran in particular, do you think that he's going to continue to pursue this claim on Greenland, or might he get sidetracked?
Yeah, I mean, Rachel, I've been covering President Trump for a really long time now. And, you know, he first floated this idea of the US taking Greenland in his first term. You know, what we saw with President Trump in his first term was often with these big statements, you'd get rolling eyes and a sense of it's noise rather than a real possibility, right? But in his second term, the jokes have stopped. We've seen actions like in Venezuela, far more shocking, they're far more consequential. And so the unsettling reality now is that allies are being forced to take very seriously statements that in President Trump's first term would have been laughed off. He is no longer testing boundaries. He's very serious over this issue of Greenland. And we've seen even more cautious voices like the US Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, make that very clear. I think for Europe, it's an uncomfortable moment of reckoning, right? Because Trump's America is much more unpredictable, much more transactional, and it is willing to question principles and alliances like the NATO alliance that once seemed completely immovable. So, you know, even here in America, no one is quite sure really when President Trump issues these threats, what rules still apply here in Trump's America?
And on then a very much related matter, if we're talking about threats, there's been quite a bit of debate over the past 24 hours about what Donald Trump meant when he promised strong action against Iran. Are we any the wiser today?
Well, President Trump has reiterated some of those statements, saying Iran had, quote, better behave. He's again emphasized the past action that the US took, saying that we took out their capabilities, we're ready to respond again. I think what's interesting, Rachel, is here right now, with so many different issues on the domestic agenda, what people are looking at is there at the moment a US military buildup in the region? It doesn't seem right now there is. So the discussions are, look, is there going to be a kinetic response, a non-kinetic response? I think a feeling that right now anything that's going to be US involvement would be a more intelligence-based operation. But yeah, as we said, it's Trump's America. Things can change in a heartbeat and often do.
They surely do. Sarah, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. Sarah Firth, their correspondent based in Washington.